Before we begin to unpack this ancient story, I just want to bring some names and situations to your awareness, and we're going to take a moment and pray. I learned this morning that Doreen Stark fell and has really damaged some bones in her neck area, and so she is going to be at Covenant Village for a while, recovering from this. And I also want to continue to bring before us Craig Hiscott, so Jenny's husband. Craig is still at Spectrum and fighting an infection. He seems to be on the upswing with that, and as soon as he's cleared of that infection, he's going to begin several months of chemotherapy. So there, I said to Jenny on Friday, I said, you're doing hard right now, and sometimes that is life, right? Sometimes doing life is hard, and that's where they find themselves right now. I learned yesterday that Michael's father, his name is Frank. Frank fell and broke his hip, and he is hopefully just coming out of surgery right now. All right, we thank God for that. And then I a larger piece as Grand Rapidians. If you follow the news, you know that the men and women of our police force, people that we appreciate what they do for us, right? But there's always room for improvement, and we struggle in the area of relationships with minority groups. And we've been on a search for a new police chief, and that person was just named this past week. I don't know that name, but it is one of our own who's been on the force for several decades and is the first African-American police chief of Grand Rapids. So I want to pray for that person and the role that we hope he will have in improving relationships with ethnic minority groups in Grand Rapids, because that would be a good thing for all people. So let's just take a moment, and let's begin with some silence, because there are perhaps needs and issues of concern or praise that you come here with. We'd like to give you some space to have conversation with God. So let's begin with some silence. Gracious, steadfast in love, God of mercy and beauty and healing, thank you for the blessed opportunity to gather in community, to be linked with one another by faith and friendship and geography, to come to this gathering place, this house of worship, to sing our praises, to remind ourselves through our songs and through story, through proclamation and prayer and the responding of our minds and hearts, our lives, to you. Thank you that we can gather in this blessed place in community to be encouraged, to be refreshed and renewed, to be given a space of refuge, to come to a blessed family, and to be a people who leave here going, what a great way to start my new week. Thank you. God, we bless you this morning because you are the blessing God who wants to be active and working within our lives and through our lives, as we have just heard through together. Thank you that you value us, that you want to partner with us, you want to bless us so that we will be a blessing to others. Thank you. And thank you that we can come to you with our needs and concerns. And so, Lord, we pray for Doreen Stark, for Craig and Ginny Hiscott, for Michael's father, Frank. God, we pray for all of our family for whom today is a day of recovery, a day of healing, or a day of working through illness or accident or tragedy. Holy Spirit, would you be with these persons as comforter and healer, as friend and refuge, as peace giver and strength giver. And may their very lives respond with a heart cry of gratitude for who you are and your loving presence with them. We pray as well for the new police chief of Grand Rapids. God, we thank you for this man's years of dedicated service to protect and serve in this great city. But Lord, he knows the task is huge. And so we pray, God, that you would bless him with wisdom and understanding. God, that you would give to him an ability to navigate all the waters and currents of politics and government and community relationships and the police force, the men and women who look to him for leadership and support and, yes, correction and way forward. Oh God, give to this man the ability to succeed so that our city and all of its people will flourish, and give thanks. Now, Lord, as we continue with the story, Lord, may this ancient story of Abram and Sarai speak afresh and new to us. So, Holy Spirit, open our hearts, open our imaginations to hear, to encounter the story. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. When you go on a road trip, and I'm really wanting you to interact with me this morning. When you go on a road trip, what are some things that you hope for? Yeah, thank you. Good weather. When we were going up to Crystal Lake a few weeks ago, every day I'm checking my weather app and going, oh, come on, temperatures, please get above 60 degrees for Pete's sake. All right, and we did. We had some great weather. Okay, so yeah, we hope for good weather. What else?
No detours,
no orange barrels. Yeah, that's a great one. Thank you. What else? Safety? What? Yeah, yeah. You know, please, God, let the car not break down, okay? And let us all be safe, right? Okay. Oh, you, okay, we hope for interesting sights. Like that deer that just bolted out across the interstate. As we're hoping for safety. Yeah. Okay. Light traffic. 131 northbound on Thursday evening and Friday, right? You know, good luck with that.
Fun experience.
Fun experiences. Yeah. And like that we all get along. All right, as a kid, and all of my siblings will remember this, and my sister is with us this morning. You know, Dad's driving the station wagon, right? You guys don't even know what a station wagon is. You're too young, okay? Think minivan, okay? It was the minivan of the day. We called it a station wagon. And Dad's driving. Now, there's three boys and a girl, okay? And all of a sudden, stuff is happening in the back seat, okay? And sometimes the claw would come back, okay? And that's Dad's hand, okay? But here's the line. Dad, drat it, if I have to stop this car, someone's going to get out and walk. Dad, we're in Canada. You know, I don't think you're going to do that, okay? But yeah, we hope that we're all going to get along, and with the safety thing comes health. Because anybody, you've gone on vacation with the kids, and all of a sudden, someone is saying, I don't feel good. And all of a sudden, you're stop the car, and you're throwing the door open, and there it goes. You hope for everybody to stay healthy, so you're passing the Purell around, the hand cleaner and everything. Yeah. Anything else that you can think of that you, when you go on a road trip, you hope for? For what? The snacks. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We hope that, you know, probably mom, you know. Yes. Yes. That's a good one. Yeah. Did you pack the, no, I thought you were. Yeah, okay. Sherry, I think you had one. For what? For God's mercy along the way. Yeah, that's mom and dad's prayer. God, give me mercy or I'm going to kill them. All right? Okay, well, today is a story not about a vacation road trip, but about a vocation road trip. Not a vacation, you know, like we're going north to Crystal Lake, but a vocation road trip, a new vocation road trip. This is a story of God calling Abram and Sarai, these ancient people, this ancient couple that lived in an ancient land. And God was calling them to a new vocation in life. And it was a new vocation that required them to take a road trip. And as God is calling them to this new vocation, God speaks to them in the story, and he makes promises to them. He says, I will make of you a great nation. Well, that's pretty cool. All right? How many of you have ever had God speak to you and say, now I want you to move to Columbus, Ohio, and there I will make of you a great nation. Okay? And you're going, really, Columbus, Ohio? It's not so bad. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Now that's all about reputation. You know, oh, yeah, John and Noreen Swanson, oh my gosh, incredible people. You're going to get to meet them? Oh, you're going to be so blessed. I will make of you a great name, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, hear that again. In you all, and all means all the families of the earth will be blessed. I mean, Abram's got to be going, wow, this is like drinking out of a fire hydrant. I can't wrap my head around these promises. Now, this is far more than simply a cute ancient story. Going, wow. I've heard that story before, and isn't that nice that God spoke to Abram and Sarai, and I'm glad that I know that story. Folks, it's far more than some interesting historical footnote. In this story, God is starting something that God has not done before. God is establishing the model, the footprint of how God is going to be interacting with the world to bring healing to brokenness, to bring grace and mercy, forgiveness, to a broken creation. So this is God's plan, not just for Abram and Sarai, folks. This you'll see repeated throughout the stories of the Old and New Testament, and it's for us today. God's plan. You know, some people say, well, if I just knew what God's plan was for my life. Well, let me tell you, folks, this is it. God's plan is to call a people, bless a people, and through God's called and blessed people, bless the world. That's why John and Kendall sang the song together. All right? Together, we can climb heights. Together, with all the giftings that God has given to us, there is so much that we can do to bring healing to our communities, to our neighborhoods, through God's strength. Now, I want to be clear here. When it says bless a people, we're North American people, right? We are a consumeristic culture. And when we hear bless me, we tend to think, oh, God wants to make me wealthy. Wrong answer, okay? When God speaks about blessing a people, it's about transformation. It's about God giving us a new heart and a new mind so that we begin to more and more reflect the very character of God, of Jesus. All right? That's the blessing. It's my life has been changed. My life has been healed. My life has been transformed by God. And now, because I'm a transformed person and still being transformed person, I'm able to not only love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, but I am more able, empowered, equipped to love my neighbor, including the neighbor who just irritates the heck out of me. All right? So that's the idea behind bless a people. And then through you and all of us together as a transformed and being transformed people, we start envisioning our neighborhoods in totally different ways and say, how can we be a blessing to the city? How can we be a blessing to the neighborhoods and the homes and the families around us? And this is something that's captured in our United Methodist mission statement. To make disciples of Jesus Christ, that's transformation, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. To bless a people, call a people, bless a people, and then through that called blessed people, bless others. That's who we are called to be. Now, how many of you know the name John Wesley? I'm glad to see that, okay? John Wesley. See, you don't know what station wagons are, and you don't know who John Wesley is. He's this old guy who lived like 300 years ago, okay? But he was so cool. Wesley just rocked his world, because he and others were the birth midwives of a new God movement in England called the Methodist people, the Methodist movement. And Wesley knew that he knew this model. He knew that God wanted to call people, bless people, and then through them bless the world. Wesley knew that. And later in life, as the Methodist movement was kind of pouring over the culture of England and reforming it, and people were coming alive to Jesus, somebody asked him, John, do you ever fear that maybe this movement someday will just kind of go away? And this is what he said. He said, I am not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist. I'm not afraid of that. But I am afraid lest they should exist only as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. All right? Now let me tell you, friends, books book after book after book has been written and continues to be written today about how the church, over time, individual churches just become a body of people with the form of religion, but they ain't got no power. Okay? The very thing that Wesley said, I'm afraid of. And it has, like an infection, spread throughout our denomination. Countless congregations that gather, good people, loving people, but the power has gone out. In a sense, the light has been dimmed. And this is the very thing that Wesley feared, that we would forget. We would forget that we are a called people, a blessed people. We're to be transformed into deeply God-loving, neighbor-loving people who reflect Jesus and who bring the love of Jesus and the presence of Jesus to our neighbors and bless them. This is what God was calling Abram and Sarai to so long again, and it's still true today. Now, I want to ask you a second question and get your response to it. When you plan a road trip, what kinds of things go into your planning? What?
A
good map. You know, how are we going to get there? Okay, now, how are we going to get there presumes that you know where there is. So part of the planning is, well, where are we going to go? All right, destination. And then, well, how are we going to get there? Again, with my dad had a thing about, you know, we don't have to go on the interstates. So Dad would just go on all these weird back roads. And I remember taking them. I wanted my mom and dad to see the World War II Memorial. And so I'm driving mom and dad's car, and dad would go, turn here. I'm like, why are we turning? Okay, now, all right, down here I want you to take a left on Route 44. Okay, Dad, why don't we want to get on 76 eastbound? Don't worry about that. And, you know, we just would drive, like, okay, I'm trusting you that you know where you're going, all right? Dad had his road map, and he knew the destination. What else do we include in our planning?
Money.
Money, yeah. How much cash do I carry? How many credit cards do we have? Okay, how much is it going to cost us? How much are we allocating for lunch? Remember Bill Knapp's? Okay, that's the thing I loved about traveling to Michigan, because we never went out to eat at restaurants. Mom always packed the tuna fish sandwiches or the egg salad sandwiches, and we'd eat at these roadside rest stops. But when we came to Michigan, Bill Knapp's. I was like, yes! Okay, hamburgers and milkshakes, fries. So, yeah, what else do we plan for? Activities for kids while they're in the car, you know, the snacks, but also, you know, we've got coloring books or other thing. Now it's a DVD, you know, video games. For the good old days. What else? That's it. Destination, route, money, activities for the kids. Thank you. Stops along the way. I knew an elderly man who was a retired engineer, and when I talked with his kids, they would talk about the trips that mom and dad would take them on, and that dad, the engineer, had everything planned down to the detail, including the potty breaks. And God help the person who, at the time of the potty breaks, was, I don't have to go. And then later said, I have to go. It's like, well, no, you missed the potty break. You know, and they said, it was like, Dad planned it down to, when we get here at this time, you use the bathrooms. Yeah, the potty breaks, the general breaks. Yeah, these are things that we planned for. Now, if you're traveling overseas. And there's this whole other thing. You know, we maybe want to read about the history of the cities that we're going to be visiting. We want to maybe read up on the culture of the place. All right? So there's a whole slew of things that, oh, packing list. I don't think anybody mentioned that. Sharon, yeah, packing list. What are we going to take with us? Okay, now, here's the thing. God, in calling Abram and Sarai, God doesn't give Abraham any of those things. This is what he says. Go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Okay, that's it. Now, one of the radical things in this is this is a tribal culture. You stay with your tribe. You stay with your kindred. It is radical that God is saying, I'm going to break all those cultural, social norms, and I'm telling you to separate and leave. But he gives no details. So I want you to use your imagination. What was the conversation that Abram had with Sarai about this? You know? He starts explaining that I've had this spiritual encounter, and God has called us to leave. And she says, my first question is this: how do you know that God spoke to you? How do you know it wasn't the pizza we just had last night? Because my stomach was a little queasy. Maybe it was the pizza. How do you know that God spoke to you? And then she might say to him, so where are we going? Well, he said the land that he's going to show us. Well, what's the name of the land? I didn't ask. Well, didn't you think that was kind of important? I mean, we got to go to AAA. We got to get the old trip tick. We got to get on Google Maps and sync it with our car system. Where did he say, where is this land? Now, then, where in the land? What's the destination? He said a land. You know, did he say it's Ohio? Did he say it's Columbus or Cincinnati? Did he say it's Lansing or Ann Arbor or Marquette? You know what? Where? Because I want to know. You know, we gotta plan this thing. And I love this kind of this cartoon drawing where you see Abraham's kind of staring out, going like, man, this conversation is not going very well, and I'm not looking very good because she's asking me really good questions, and I'm going, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I didn't ask him. Why didn't you ask him? Don't you think that would be important? Oh, man, God, you got to help me out. You got to help me out. God does not give the details, the specifics. What he does is he gives promises. Now, here's the thing that I think Abraham and Sarah must have said then. We don't know any of the details, so I hope he, God, I hope he's true to his promises. I hope he can deliver on those promises. And friends, this has everything to do with God's character and God's ability. Because if someone is making promises to you, and you're like, oh, this sounds really good, and then you share them with a significant other, and they're going, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Who was it who gave these promises? Do you know who this person is? Let me tell you, this person can make all the promises in the world, but my experience is that person doesn't deliver. Because either it's not in their character to be true to their promises, integrity, or this person in no way has the ability to deliver on those promises. This person is way over promising, and I'm telling you, is going to be under delivering. And so all of a sudden, hope becomes a key part of this whole calling of Abram and Sarai. In our lives, because we are the Abrams and Sarais today, hope is rooted in God's character and God's power. God, you have made promises. And I know from the stories, I know from the history that you are God of integrity. You are a God of steadfast love and faithfulness. I know that in the story of Jesus, there is a day called Easter, and something happened on that day that turned death on its head, turned evil on its head, turned sin upside down. There was a victory won that day. And so my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than the story of Jesus, the story of God and God's people, and the promises that God has made, and how God has proven his character to be true and trustworthy, and that God's power is able to do that which God said he's going to do. So hope, friends, the hope of our lives individually, the hope of this congregation and this uncertain future of ours, which can make us very nervous. And then we say, wait a minute. Part of looking forward has got to include hope. Hope in a God whose character is unassailable. It's a trustworthy character and a God of power who's able to do things that frankly just take my breath away. Wow, look what God has done. The story moves on. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, they're now in the land that they're just traveling through. The Lord says, to your offspring I will give this land. So Abram built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him there. And then again in the story, from there Abram moved on, and there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord means the character of God. And Abram journeyed on in stages. Friends, as we journey, individually in life, as we're journeying through life, which can be glorious and it can be tragic and everything in between. When we journey through life, we journey with hope in who God is and his power. But sometimes that stuff starts to kind of flag. It tends to leak. My hope leaks. Hope is nourished and renewed and strengthened as we remind ourselves of who God is and what God does, and that's what we do in worship. That's what we do in corporate worship. It's what we do in our own private worship time. As we read and listen to the stories, as we reflect and meditate, or the Hebrew word for meditate, you've heard me say, means to gnaw on, like a dog with a bone. We gnaw on the story, and we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to help us find our place in that story. What do I need to be reminded of? What do I need to be encouraged by? What do I need to be called out by? This is what the stories do for us. We sing the stories. We sing our faith, both corporately and individually. You know, sometimes I ask people, I say, do you have a copy of the United Methodist Hymnal at home? You mean I'm supposed to? Well, I think it's a good tool. You know, it's a good tool. Or, hey, when you get in your car, do you have a Christian music station that you listen to? Okay, I mean, you can listen to your Black Sabbath. You know, Grateful Dead, okay. You know, John Hartel's going to be listening to the Beatles, okay? All right, that's fine. But do you listen to music that specifically reminds you about the character and power of God and the story of God at work in our lives? All right? Find a good Christian radio station with really good music that you connect with. Okay, for some of you, that'll be finding a station that plays the good old ancient hymns. That's totally cool. Worship, individually and corporately, it reminds us of who God is and God's ability to deliver. And we say, oh God, thank you. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, that song, when it came on the radio, just was like a tsunami wave of God's presence and love. And I know some people who literally had to pull their cars off the road because they were just weeping in a good way, because all of a sudden they knew God has not forsaken me. God is right with me in the midst of life. He's with me and I am loved, and he is my rock and my fortress and my refuge, and I am going to get through this. We worship. It's so essential. The Apostle Paul says this about Abram and Sarai in the book of Romans. When it was beyond hope, he, Abram, had faith in the hope that he would become the father of many nations, in keeping with the promise God spoke to him. That's how many descendants you will have. Without losing faith, Abram, who was nearly 100 years old, took into account his own body, which was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb, which was dead. He didn't hesitate with a lack of faith in God's promise, but he grew strong in faith and gave glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what God promised. Friends, we are called to be these Abram and Sarais today, individually in our own lives, a called people, a blessed people, and then a called blessed people who bless the world. We're called to be a people of hope individually, but friends, as we talk about the future of this congregation, we stand with Abram and Sarai. We don't have all the details. We don't quite know where that destination is. But we trust in the character of God, in the ability of God, which then gives us a reason to hope. And we worship to nourish that hope that is rooted in who God is, what he has promised, and what God is able to deliver. Let's pray. God, thank you that you are trustworthy, that we can indeed build our hope on you. Your words, your promises, the story of your people. Holy Spirit, we confess that sometimes we are really distracted from that story. Sometimes the story just leaks out of us, and we need it to be refreshed, rebooted, renewed, and we need it to grow in its influence in our lives. And so we invite you, Lord, in our individual lives, whatever we're facing this week or in this season of life, renew our hope. And for this congregation, as we look to the future, as our governance board leads us, Holy Spirit, guide them. And may we together as a people say our hope is in the one true and living God who has called us, who has blessed us, and is calling us to be a blessing to the world. In Christ's name, help us. Amen.